Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, September the 25th. What a day. What a day here in the American political landscape. I mean, just an absolutely crazy day with all this talk about impeachment, the transcript was released. I mean, just an absolutely crazy day. And, you know, you have to wonder sometimes how people feel about days like this. I mean, the people who are not following the politics every single day, I wonder at what point they just tune it out. I don't know. We'll get into some of that today. But I want to begin with what I thought was an extremely important event here in the last 48 hours that has nothing to do with impeachment, and that's President Trump at the United Nations. I thought he was actually outstanding at the United Nations, and I thought specifically, and I have a post about this coming out Thursday morning, I thought he was, I mean, just unbelievably good when it came to Cuba and when it came to Venezuela, and basically letting everybody know that these two countries are, you know, very much supporting each other. But at the same time, they represent two of the most failed political systems in Latin American history. Cuba, of course, has been a disaster ever since it came under communist control. I mean, Cuba was at one time a prosperous island, and today Cuba is a poor country where people are trying to get the heck out any way that they can. And of course, in the case of Venezuela, a more recent example of a country that was extremely prosperous, a very strong middle class, a country with a well-educated and good population. And now that country is, people are starving. President Trump was talking about the number of women with children and families who are literally without food, the number of people who are crossing into Colombia just seeking a better life. There are thousands of Venezuelans in the United States who have come here under asylum visas. So it is really fascinating to see President Trump bring up these two points and let the people at the United Nations know, let the world know that, you know, we don't support that. We don't support that. Now, we're not going to invade. That's not what he was saying. But clearly sending a message of disgust, if you will, with the current political system in both Cuba and Venezuela, I think that's very important. It's very important for the dissidents to know that the United States stands with the people of those countries. You know, my father's late cousin spent 14 years in a Cuban political prison. And I remember speaking with him much later, obviously, after he was able to get out. And I remember visiting with him in the late 1980s in Miami when I took a trip to Miami, and I spent a little bit of time chatting with him. And I said, you know, how did it feel when the president of the United States would say something critical of Cuba? And he said, you know, it felt good because we eventually found out about it. They would either hear about it from other prisoners, or every once in a while somebody was able to sneak a radio into the prison and pick up a broadcast of the Voice of America or something like that. And he said it would actually make us feel good when we would hear the president of the United States say something like that, whether at the United Nations or whether as part of a White House event or, you know, the annual State of the Union address, whatever it may be. And that they feel good hearing that. Obviously, the highlight of many of these speeches was Reagan's famous evil empire remark of 1983 that was received extremely well by all the dissidents in the old Soviet Union. So I congratulate President Trump. I really do. I congratulate President Trump for taking the initiative here, for talking about Cuba, for talking about Venezuela, and the fact that these two countries are failing their people. I also congratulate him for, you know, speaking up for the American economy, speaking up for the American capitalist system, and letting everybody know that, hey, we have a great economy, and we have a great economy because we do things a little different here than they do in other countries. I thought it was great that President Trump spoke about defending borders. when he said, look, we have a right. And then he spoke to the members of the assembly, and he said, you also have a right to defend your borders. So I think overall it was an outstanding speech. Unfortunately, a speech that was obviously distracted a little bit by all of this impeachment talk, but I think overall it was a great speech, and I'm sure that the people on that floor understood that we have a president of the United States who clearly is very pro-American and will be working as much as he can to serve the interest of the United States. So I thought in that respect it was a fabulous speech, and I was very, very happy to hear the president deliver it. Well, let's talk about all of this impeachment talk. You know, I was a little surprised, and I think I said so in the last show, that Nancy Pelosi jumped the gun and actually announced impeachment before the transcript was released. And I thought it was a little bit nervous on her part, maybe a sign of weakness, maybe a sign that she cannot really control her caucus. So here she is announcing that we're going to look into impeachment. Now, the transcript was released today. There's nothing illegal in the transcript. There's nothing in the transcript that rises to the level of an impeachable offense. There's absolutely nothing. Now, there are some things maybe that Trump would say differently, I suppose, if he had to do it all over again. I don't know why he brought up the Biden issue. I think it had something to do with corruption that Ukraine is fighting. But, you know, you're probably, as a rule, I think you're probably better off not bringing up information like that when you're talking to a foreign leader. But, you know, that's a mistake. That's not an impeachable offense. And again, you know, you see the reaction of the Democrats, you know, acting as if this is the end of the world, that this is the most awful thing that any American president has ever done. And I just think it's a piece of crap. I really do, the reaction that they're having. Now, according to the very latest numbers that I saw, they have right now just exactly 218 votes to begin something. Not real clear whether these 218 votes are willing to impeach President Trump. Probably about 180 of them are going to do it. But that's not 218, which is what they need. And then there's you know, roughly another 25 or so who have simply not taken any position. Now, Karl Rove, who is about as well known in these things and as knowledgeable in these things as anybody in Washington, wrote a column today where he talks about the 43 Democrats who won districts in 2018, who won districts that President Trump had won in 2016. These are the so-called moderates. These are the people who ran for president, who ran for the House in 2018 on a very moderate, down-the-road, centrist type of agenda. They, you know, they weren't talking about impeachment. They weren't talking about amnesty for illegal immigration or anything like that. It was pretty much of a moderate touch. It was a bunch of people basically saying, hey, you know, we want to go to Washington and we want to get things done because there's too much screaming, there's too much partisanship and all of that kind of stuff. Now, these 43 are going to be up for re-election. And usually the toughest re-election when you're in the House is the first one you face. And the Republicans don't have to win all of those 43 to win back control of the House. In fact, if they were to pick up 25 of those 43, they would have enough to have a majority in the House. So those 43 Democrats are the ones that Nancy Pelosi is trying to protect, and this is why she's being so cautious in moving ahead with impeachment. That's why I continue to say that I don't believe there's going to be an impeachment vote. I don't believe there may be a fake impeachment vote, sort of a show of hands type of thing where they can get in and allow a bunch of people not to vote for it. But I don't think there's going to be a formal impeachment proceeding simply because they have to protect these 43 Democrats who are up for re-election. And every one of those Democrats knows that there's going to be a tough re-election in 2020. Donald Trump is going to be on top of the ticket in 2020. So that's going to change the turnout and many of the things that will make 2020 different. So up to right now, I don't think they have they're going to go ahead and go through the impeachment vote. I think Nancy Pelosi is going to somehow deny that or at least slow that down as much as she can. Now, what they are trying to do, I think this is part of the strategy, what they are trying to do is to basically wear down the American people. I think they're basically saying, look, you know, do you really want this guy as president? Do you want this guy? You know, every week there's a scandal. The problem for President Trump is that the Democrats have a willing and able friend and ally in most of the media, not all of them, but a good chunk of them. So the question is, you know, can they do this? Can they basically wear down President Trump? I don't think they can, because I think President Trump is a pretty tough guy. He's going to fight fire with fire. And I will say this much about what will happen in all of this. I think one of the biggest casualties of all of this is going to be former Vice President Biden, because I think there's so much information about Ukraine that that's going to take him out. So that's the biggest casualty. And that, from Donald Trump's perspective, may be the best thing, because to this day, Joe Biden has been the toughest candidate for him to face. And I think the other big casualty is the media, because once again, with this whistleblower, we saw another example of too many people in the media jumping immediately to the conclusion, or to the negative conclusion, regarding President Trump. And I think this is going to wear on the media. You know, I've gotten to the point, you know, whenever I see some of these breaking stories, breaking news, I'm very cautious about believing it, because once again, we see with the whistleblower who apparently is going to bring down President Trump, it turns out to be somebody who did not even listen to the conversation, was familiar with the transcript. Who was this person? Well, I don't know. I don't know who it was. But whoever it was, he didn't hear the speech, or he didn't hear the conversation the first time around. He didn't read the transcript. So who was this person? How was a person like this able to get so much credibility? That's a question I think many reporters are going to have to answer. So far, not a great day for President Trump. I mean, a good day at the UN, I agree with that, but he does have some problems with all of this impeachment. But I do believe that the Democrats are so crazy that they're going to end up reelecting President Trump. I just think that's going to be the case. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlo's website on the show information. Click on that, and it'll tell you where he's going to be playing over the next few weeks. He's got a great schedule coming up. You want to check it out. You want to check it out and make sure you show up wherever he's playing and have yourself some good food and listen to some good music from our friend Carlos Guedes. On this day in history, 1789, the Bill of Rights passed the Congress. And then, of course, it had to become an amendment it became amendments to the U.S. Constitution later on, I think a couple of years later. But the Bill of Rights is one of the greatest things that we have in the United States. And the Bill of Rights, of course, are the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution that enumerate the rights that you have as a citizen of the United States, right of free religion, exercise of free religion, freedom of speech, of course, the Second Amendment. You have the Fourth Amendment, privacy, the Fifth Amendment. You don't have to speak against yourself and incriminate yourself and so on. So these amendments represent the enumerated rights, the rights that you have as a citizen of the United States. And it is really the most amazing thing about the United States when you consider these rights that we as individuals have. And sometimes we get caught up in all the partisan politics, and we get caught up in everything that goes up and goes down, that we forget. We forget how great and just absolutely fortunate we are to be living in a country like this, because not everybody around the world has these rights. I mean, I know that for a fact. I came from Cuba. Not everybody around the world has the right of free speech, free religion, or the exercise of a free religion, free assembly, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment. These are not things that every country has or every people has, but we have them here in the United States, and we should be grateful and thankful that these rights were put in the Constitution. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.